EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Tough this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
We're not taking a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. The first of two accounts tonight is Trev from Washington State, sharing his paranormal experiences and a childhood encounter of a UFO in 1967. Then we move on to Texas to hear from Nick and his experiences of UFOs and a strange encounter with a being outside of his window. But before that, big thank you to our recent Apple Podcasts 5-star ratings and reviewers, and they are YourMom.com, Cameron Woolnoff, Joe Easy 007, Peter B, Sliwa Fan, Not Hoodwinked by Azra, April D, Say Me, Beetlejuice Times 3, and Mig 1066. Great stuff, guys. These reviews really help the show to get picked up by new listeners and makes it more discoverable to future guests. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Trev.
Thank you for having me. This is kind of exciting for me.
Thank you for coming on today and calling from Washington State.
Yes.
Now, Trev, your experiences go back to the 60s. Would you like to start from there, please, sir?
Yeah, I think that would be a good place to start, actually. The main year was 1967. I was 12 years old at the time and living in a kind of a typical little town just outside of Los Angeles. We were a group of us kids were out in the street just around dinner time or so playing football, and we noticed something in the sky. It was a clear blue sky. It was a beautiful evening. This thing was east of us, so the sun was hitting it directly and had it all lit up. We could see it very clearly. We were actually kind of used to seeing things in the sky because we were not too far away from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and they were constantly launching stuff up, and we'd sit and watch them do that. But this didn't look like anything we'd ever seen before. It was like a very large orange ball, just a round sphere. It was so smooth that it actually looked solid, so it didn't really look like a balloon, which we would have recognized because we saw those all the time too. You know how a balloon has that kind of, not flimsy, but flexible kind of skin to it that, you know, rises and falls in the air and stuff like that. Well, this didn't do anything like that. It just drifted really slowly from our left to the right and just kept a perfect course, didn't change speed or anything, made no sound whatsoever. So, of course, it caught our attention, and we were watching this. We couldn't tell how far away it was, but if it was far away, then it must have been absolutely huge because it looked big in the sky. But it was, it floated in, and then it went behind a tree in a yard a couple of houses down from us. And we were waiting for it to come back out so we could see where it was going, and it didn't come back out. It just disappeared. It was just gone. And that was the thing that really blew us away, because the only other thing it could have done would be like take a 90-degree turn and head due east from us, but it just wasn't there anymore. So I didn't really think about it all that too much. I don't even think I told my parents about it, to tell the truth, but we went back to playing football. And then as an adult, about 30 years later, in 1998, I was in Stuttgart, Germany. And I had a friend there who wanted to be a screenwriter. He had set up for us to do some script work for a filmmaker who was a protege of Roland Emmerich, who had just done Independence Day 2 years earlier. So, of course, it was kind of natural for us to talk about UFOs when we were driving out to his studio. So I told my friend about what I had seen. And he just went dead silent. And then he looked at me and he said, "I saw the same thing here 15 years ago." So that kind of sparked my interest in it again. I had a colleague at work who was kind of into esoteric things. So I mentioned it to him. And of course, he hadn't heard anything about anything like that either. But the internet was basically just getting started up. So he jumped online and did a search. Of course, we didn't have Google back then. He used Netscape. And he found an article from that year of an Australian newspaper about a woman who had seen exactly what I had seen drifting across her ranch. And that article said that nobody knew what this was. The officials had no idea. So here I have, over the years, three different people seeing the same thing, none of us knowing what this thing is. Now I want to go ahead a little bit. In 2007, I moved back to Washington. When I got here, I found out about a pizza party that was being planned for the 4th of July in Portland, Oregon, being put on by the local MUFON chapter, and they were commemorating the 60th anniversary of the first UFO sighting in that city. So I decided to go to that and see what was going on with it. And I got a chance after the presentation to actually sit down with one of the representatives and talk to him a little bit. But even he hadn't heard anything about this. Didn't know anything, couldn't give me an explanation. But the thing that struck me was that he didn't just dismiss it. He didn't say, "Oh, no, you just saw something that actually could have been this or that." He was interested and he thought it was kind of unusual. So I figured I saw a UFO. After that meeting that night, my brother took me to the house of a friend of his for a barbecue and fireworks, of course. And I was sitting in the backyard talking with his friend, and I noticed that he was wearing an odd ring. It had a blue stone on it and a two-headed phoenix, and I recognized it immediately. It was a Masonic ring, Freemasons, and it had a number 32 stamped on it, which told me 32-degree Mason is a pretty high Mason. So I didn't know much about the Masons, so I started questioning him a little bit, and he turned out to be pretty open about it, actually. We talked about a number of different things and some conspiracy stuff and things like that. And at one point in the conversation, I asked him about UFOs. I asked him, well, do you think that aliens have ever actually come to the Earth? And he got this really intense look on his face. He kind of leaned forward a little bit and he said, you have no idea. Felt this little kind of thrill, like, hey, I've hit up on something here. Later that night, I had a very strange dream. It was the first of 15 dreams that I had over the next few months, all of them about aliens and UFOs. It seemed to kind of tell a little bit of a story at times, almost a sequence of events going on. The dream I had, I keep a dream journal, and I have for like 20 years or so. So I'd like to read what I wrote in my journal about that dream. I'm holding a set of papers. The title sheet is labeled Preliminary Document of Agreement with Entities. I'm supposed to sign them as a representative of humanity. I understand these entities to be spacefaring aliens. A half dozen of them are standing near me. They are more than a bit intimidating. They're clustered in a tight group and appear to be two-dimensional black shadows with no features whatsoever. They vary slightly in height, but overall are tall and slender with elongated heads. They don't speak, but they are not friendly. So at this point, I'd like to go back to Germany. If I'm not being too confusing here, I hope this can be followed. In 2002, a few years after my friend and I talked, I was living in a converted basement of a 70-year-old mansion that was owned by a Nazi officer back in the war. It was a haunted house. We had a very noisy poltergeist and the ghost of an adolescent girl who often appeared to visitors in the guest bedroom up on the second floor. My landlords liked to go out at night, and quite often they wouldn't come back till after midnight. And during those times, I'd hear heavy footsteps upstairs, cupboard doors slamming, and something that kind of made me think of a marble bouncing down the floor. But the most shocking one for me was one morning when I got up, I heard this loud noise. The landlord had bought metal workbench that he wanted to put together at some time, and he had stored the box in the hallway just outside my place. And I opened the door and looked out, and that box had been thrown across the hall. It didn't just fall. It didn't slide. It moved down the hall. So that was kind of a fun place to live. Anyway, the summer of that year, the landlord went on vacation and asked me to water his indoor plants one time while they were gone. I was really nervous about being upstairs alone at night. I made sure I went up there in the afternoon. And I finished watering in one of the rooms, and I came back out into the hallway, and I saw this shape about maybe 6 or 7 feet away from me, standing in the hallway. It was taller than me, and it looked exactly like the entities in my dream. The thing is, it wasn't up against a wall or anything. It was in the middle of the hallway, and it was broad daylight. So I could see it clearly. And we kind of stared at each other for a few seconds, and apparently it suddenly realized that I could see it. And it turned around, ran down the hall, and went into the far bedroom. I followed it down there and went in, but I never saw it again. And remembering this made me remember something else. Around the time that I saw the UFO at age 12, I started getting like visitations at night. It appeared like a human shadow on my bedroom wall, but it wasn't static. It would move along the wall. And it would stop, and it would kind of look at me, and then it would move again. I had no idea what this thing was, but I got used to it pretty quickly and just didn't worry about it. And by the time I was in high school, it went away altogether. But the way it went away was interesting. It slid along the wall the way it always did, paused at the door, which was open, and then stepped into the doorway. And I could see it against the darkness of the hallway, almost like it was three-dimensional at that point. That, I'll admit, scared me a little bit. But it was kind of an interesting thing. And I feel like all of these things, the UFO, the shadows, the dreams, I think they're all related. I don't know what they are, what they were. I don't know if they were my imagination. But I was thinking of something that Jacques Vallée wrote. He said that sometimes when we see something that we have no category for, it's so unusual that we have no idea of how to explain or describe it, the mind will sometimes substitute something else for it that helps it to get a little bit of understanding, to get a grasp of it. And maybe that's what these things were. Maybe I encountered something in the world that I just couldn't figure out. And my mind said, well, that's an object flying in the sky, and that's a shadow up on your wall. But I really do think that these things are real. I don't think they're imaginary. I think that just my interpretation of them may not be what they actually are, but are just kind of like something that satisfies my understanding and kind of keeps me calm about it.
Certainly would explain why people's different accounts differ.
Yes, because, I mean, psychologically, the mind is an interpreter. And so everybody's mind is going to interpret things according to the way that it works and its experiences.
I know the mind does that with words as well.
Mm.
If it can't quite work out what a word is, it kind of fills in the gaps.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Your other dreams, have they been very similar? Has the entities all been shadow entities?
No, they have not. Two of them, I actually encountered the entities. One of them basically looked like human being, purple skin, no hair. Its face was basically made up of like slits, just almost like line drawings for eyes and nostrils and a mouth. And this one entered my bedroom and started investigating things, looking at stuff in my room, saw that I was awake, and instantly was at the side of my bed with his face just inches away from mine. And this image was so powerful that when I woke up, I was able to close my eyes and take a pencil and paper and draw that face with my eyes closed and looked almost exactly like it. I mean, it really made an impression. I can see it in my mind now just saying it. But if I have time here, the one other was standard grays. There were four of them. At the time, I forget what the technical term is. We call it TMJ, where your jaw gets locked up. It's painful to move. And these grays lined up across my bed, along the side of my bed, and the lead one reached over and grabbed my jaw and squeezed it. And I could feel it. I could feel the bones in his fingers. It was painful, and it was like it was really happening. And then he let go and they left. And when I woke up in the morning, I was healed. So that one kind of stuck with me.
And you actually suffered from that before, TMJ?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard of a few times when something very similar has happened. The last one, I think, was an inner ear problem.
Mm-hmm.
And an entity had put something, either touched the ear or put something in the ear. And then the following, no problem with the ear again.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's a powerful experience when something like that happens.
It's a real connection, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Your friend that was a Mason, shame he wouldn't divulge even more.
Yeah, I was hoping he would, but he decided not to go into that subject.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's 32 degrees, so he's up there.
Yeah, to tell the truth, I was surprised he said as much to me as he did.
Yeah, you usually need to have a funny handshake to...
Yes.
Or at least a ring.
made me think of John Cleese there.
Yeah, well, there's City Walks.
Yes.
That's great, Travis. Great talking to you.
And you. Thanks.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome, Nick, to the show.
How you doing?
Thank you for joining us tonight. You are coming to us from Texas.
That's right.
That is great. You have various experiences to share with our listeners tonight. Would you like to start the very first one, please, Nick?
Sure. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, I'll preface in saying, like, even when I was younger, I was definitely interested in anything, you know, paranormal or UFO related. Never expected to see anything. Didn't really go out trying to look for anything. And I grew up in a fairly small town in North Texas, you know, under 15,000 population. And outside of that town, my father worked, and he had a little store outside of a gated retirement community around a little lake. And this was about 8 miles, basically out in the country. So you're driving past cows and fields and tractors and all that stuff, not a whole lot to see. So my mom would drive me and my sister out to see my dad, or we'd take him lunch or something. You're just gazing out the window, usually, you know, daydreaming. So when I was probably around 8, we were cruising down and I was peering out, and there's a really tall radio tower, you know, just a tall, skinny thing. At night, you see the red lights blinking and stuff, keep planes from running into it. It's really, 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 really tall. And I just, you know, I could focus on that. I knew we were getting close when we were a certain relation to that, to, you know, where we were going and whatnot. I remember looking at it and it looked like it was almost like a fly flying around it, like really quickly. And I had to focus. I was like, wait a minute, what was that? And I looked, and it was an orange triangle. And I was just like, huh. And mind you, this is before internet and all that stuff. You see things flying around, you assume it's going to be like a saucer or something like that. I saw this orange triangle, and it kind of just buzzed around in relation to this thing. And then it stopped. And then it like slid slowly, like perfectly straight to the left. And then just zoop straight into the sky, nothing to be seen. And I remember looking at my, or yelling at my sister and mom, being like, you guys just see that? Like, what the heck was that? You know, and that was pretty much it. It was broad daylight, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And until later, once you started hearing people's stories and people actually mentioning stuff like that, I was like, wow, well, maybe that really was, you know, some sort of UFO. Obviously, it's unidentified, and I watched the thing zip around and shoot off into the sky. After that, it was probably 4 or 5 years later, and me and a friend we'd been playing football out in the backyard at my parents' house, and then we just laid down and on the grass, and we were just, you know, kind of tossing the ball back and forth, just staring at the sky, talking, you know, girls or whatever. I don't know. We were like 13 years old, 12 years old. And there's a really, really, really bright star that almost seemed like it was in our atmosphere. And we were just like, holy smokes, that's bright. Like, wow, look at that. And didn't think a whole lot of it. And we also, a reference point, my mom had these poles with this rope in between that she's growing like vines of some sort of plant or something. But it was kind of cold out, so there wasn't anything on it. So you had this rope going, and it was on one side of it. Well, we were probably out there for an hour. Thing was still, obviously, you know, we were just both looking at it, talking like nothing. And then all of a sudden, it started to get a little dimmer, and it just started to move. Just whoop, started just moving across the sky, and then lights off, gone. It was like, whoa, you know, perfectly clear sky, all that type of stuff. So that was pretty much the extent of that type of stuff. Occasionally I would see things, you know, during the day, and I'd be like, that looks something kind of similar to what I saw the first time, like a little thing moving around and just disappear, which it's hard to tell sometimes, you know, it's sunny outside and whatever. Now, something that was a little wilder and a little more shocking happened when I was 23, and I was at my girlfriend's apartment, and we were laying down on the bed just goofing off, and the blinds were behind us, kind of angled out a little bit. So if you stood looking at them from the inside, you can't see out. But if you lay down, you could see straight outside because they're angled up, and whatever was out there looking at an angle could look down. And we were talking and goofing off, and all of a sudden I saw something, and it was I looked directly at it, and it was like a really long white face, almost like a horse, and it had dark eyes, and it was almost like it was studying us. It like came down like an observational, I don't know how to describe it. It was almost like if it was attached to your, like a long arm or something, and you like probing down to look at somebody. And we looked straight up at this thing, and I was like, what is that? And we both freaked out, and we basically clawed ourselves off the bed. Too scared to go outside, never looked, never saw it, but I looked directly at this thing, and it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. Didn't know what to make of it. Never heard of anyone see anything like that. Never, ever heard anything like that. So we were pretty weirded out by it. And I told the story a couple years later in front of a couple and some other people just randomly telling weird stories. And I mentioned the white horse face, and they both looked at each other like, hold on, let me tell you this. And this girl had seen similar things when she was younger. She had actually had some sort of sphere glowing fly over their property, and her parents and the neighbor had both seen this white horse face creature in their windows. And I don't know. I don't really know. But it can. She could relate to that, and she has seen something like that, and that was pretty odd. Yeah. So about 5 years later, now I'm in Texas, and I'm couch surfing a lot, because I'm saving money to move to New York City. So I'm back and forth, staying with friends or a cousin, like whoever would take me. You know, I'd get off of work late. I was working at a restaurant, and I'd be 30 or 40 minutes in one direction or another, just going to stay with whoever would let me. And I'd also come to my parents' house sometimes. So I came here. It was a little later. I think I got here around 1 a.m. or something, and I believe they're already asleep. And I'm come sit in the room, and it's perfectly quiet. And I'm just online messing on my laptop, and I hear footsteps on the roof. Like, and I've heard animals, but I heard footsteps. And I was like, just thinking in the back of my head, is some sort of like crackhead up here? Or what's going on here? Is someone messing around? Like, you know, it was very obvious it was not a raccoon or something. And I kind of got freaked out. So I went and I turned all the lights on outside, flashed them, didn't hear anything else. Didn't bother going outside. You know, these days I would have probably gone and looked, but I didn't. And I ended up going to sleep. Now, the next thing I remember is just feeling a sensation behind my back of being pushed. Almost, it was almost a dull feeling, like a pressure, but not quite like you're running a fist in your back, but something I felt pushing me on my back. And I start to kind of come to in bed, and I'm just like, what the heck is that? And I feel something, I feel like a presence behind me. And I'm like, I just couldn't move. Couldn't do it. I felt like I was almost like the feeling you would get if you were drinking a bunch of NyQuil or something and waking up the next day a little hazy, except it wasn't that heavy. I was still like, my mind was working, but I just couldn't really, just my body wouldn't work. And I was just like, what is going on? And I took all the strength I could and just rolled over as fast as I could, which is slow. And when I turned over, all I saw were like red and blue lights spinning in a circle in the window. And the best way I could describe it is if you took your hand and put it out like a claw, and you put a light on each of your fingers and just like spun it around with your hand. And it almost looked like, I still couldn't move, but I could see this, and it looked like they were attached to something, but I couldn't focus enough. So they just spun in a circle backwards. And as I'm watching this and just being like, what am I looking at? And still kind of out of it, the curtains just are closed. They just close on their own. And I just didn't know what to think, could still barely come to. And after I did, I was kind of just I couldn't believe what I saw. I wasn't really sure. I wasn't scared. I just didn't understand. And I ended up going to sleep, and it's kind of one of those things that didn't like hit me until later in the next day. And I'm like, holy crap, what was that? You know? Yeah. No explanation. I didn't feel scared. I don't remember having any like marks or anything else, but I was wide awake when I saw it. It was the weirdest thing. So that became something that I just didn't talk about that much. And honestly, I would kind of forget about it, and it would be like, you know, kind of brushed under the rug in my mind, the same with the kind of horse face creature thing. And occasionally I would, oh yeah, that happened. And you know, you'd be hanging out with some people and people would tell some weird stories. And I'm like, well, check this out, you know, and that was the only time it really came up, and I didn't really focus on it that much. So all those things were pretty short experiences. Now this next one just happened in November. Me and, this girl, we're going to go meet each other. You know, it's COVID, but we're like, let's go hang out. Let's take a road trip together. So I was like, we'll go to Santa Fe, and on the way, we'll go to Carlsbad and maybe Roswell and check that out and see what's going on there. And we were very excited about that. And last minute, the place to stay kind of fell through. So I was like, well, let's retrack this and reroute it. And I have some family that has a cabin up in outside of Colorado Springs, at the outside, right on Pikes Peak, on the edge of it. And so we were going to go do that. And I started to reroute everything. And I'm like, you know what? I remember when I was a kid, we were driving through the San Luis Valley. And I remember hearing about a lot of UFO activity and just a lot of interesting things there. And I hadn't really given it a whole lot of focus since. And I was like, I always wanted to go through there as an adult and actually check it out. So I was like, great, we'll go. The Airbnbs weren't lining up. And I kept seeing this one in Crestone. Never heard of Crestone. I'm like, okay. And they had all these high ratings. It said like a rare find. You should definitely, you know, these people are never open for booking because they're always booked up. So I'm like, great, let's do that. Looks cool. You know, Crestone, I don't know. We'll go to that watchtower 30 minutes away. And the UFO watchtower was one of the stops. And we'll stay in Crestone. Fine. So we go there that day. We pull up to the UFO watchtower, which I'm sure a lot of people are aware of out there. And San Luis Valley is tons of UFO activity. And it's like high spiritual area and all sorts of stuff. So we were excited, and we're like, maybe we'll see something on this watchtower. So we get there and it's closed. My friend, she said she looked at the website and she saw like the person had a contact, and you could walk through. It's like a flat area, and it was probably a few hundred, you know, yards away from the fence, but you could walk through. But we were like, okay, we're not just going to trespass. So we called the lady. We found a landline on the old website. We called her and we're like, hey, you know, we really wanted to, you know, we'd driven from pretty far away and we wanted to check this out. We wasn't aware it was going to be closed. She's like, yeah, go ahead. That's okay. So we walked in, and we'd come from Texas. So we made a lot of elevation that day, and I was pretty out of breath. You know, I didn't have a chance to acclimate to that altitude yet. And I think it's somewhere around over 8,000 feet or something like that. High desert, you know? So we're walking and I'm just kind of like, you know, kind of out of breath. And we pull up and, you know, there's this watchtower. And you read, and all these psychics had come there and said that there's like these vortexes and they're guarded by these beings, and it's in this garden, and a lot of people leave trinkets and stuff for good luck. They're like, don't mess with anything there. It's bad karma, but there's an energy in this area. And I'm just like, cool, great. All right, let's look at this stuff. You know, it's so quiet out there. It almost hurts your ears. It's the most quiet I've ever been anywhere. And there's nobody around until you see a car or something. And you know, that's as loud as it gets way off in the distance. So as soon as we start walking in the, you know, it's just a flat, level, deserty area. And as soon as we start walking in this garden, all of a sudden I can breathe fine, not out of breath at all. And it takes me a minute to realize that. And I'm just like, kind of just like doing this. And then I'm just talking normal. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of had a little pep in my step. And I'm like, holy smokes. I was like, you feel, you still out of breath? She's like, no. And I was like, that's the damnedest thing. So we go on top. We watch the sun go down. Don't see anything. walking back, as soon as we get off that property, I'm having trouble breathing again. I just thought that was kind of unusual. So we go to this Airbnb in Crestone. It's this town, which I didn't realize, you know, people go camp there to watch, try to watch UFOs and all this stuff. And there's no lights. It's like zero light pollution. So our GPS isn't even working. Having hell finding this place, you know, I'm just driving 10 miles an hour and these signs or wood signs for the roads are just like, you know, 3 foot tall. So I'm like angling the car and pulling over and looking at the sign and driving. And we finally found it and we get settled in. And we talk to the host and set our stuff down and she tells us a little bit about the house and we decide to go. She said, well, there should be some shooting stars tonight, should be a shower. And it's literally, you know, you can see the Milky Way out there, no light pollution, most stars, you know, you can see everything's sparkling and the whole sky's filled with something and it's beautiful. So we go stand outside and it's probably around 30 degrees, but we stand in the front yard. She goes, this is a pretty good spot to look, which honestly could have been anywhere. And we start watching, boom, shooting star. Oh, great, great. There's another one. Boom, great, great. Oh, that's cool. Wow, two of them. Saw another one. Whoa, three shooting stars. That's crazy. And we're like, let's go inside for a minute. There's a, basically the room we were staying in was kind of like a half circle built on the side of this house and a deck built around that. So you could go in and out of this room on your own. She's like, go ahead and take a blanket if you guys want to go outside. So we set up there and we're just like, you know, blankets up to our necks. And we're just like, oh, this is great. We're watching, you know, watching to see some more shooting stars. And it's pitch black everywhere. We keep hearing something. And we heard there's a bobcat that hangs around there or something, or a mountain lion or something. And we were just like, all right, like, let's go inside. It's too cold. We'll watch some more shooting stars from bed. So we go lay down in bed. And this half circle, there's windows, you know, that go from the floor up. They're all door windows. So we open one of the curtains up and we're just a few miles from the edge of this mountain. And to the right of it, you can see the corner of the dunes, the sand dunes out there. So we're just like, oh, this is great. Wow, it's so quiet. And the host went to bed. He's turned the lights off and we're laying down. And we're right by the edge of the mountain, so it's pretty low. And she's like, oh, I thought I saw a shooting star or whatever. And right on the edge of the mountain, it looks right on top or behind it. I'm like, focus on that there. Look at that. And it was it looked like it was too low to be a star, I thought. And it seemed fairly close, but it was blinking neon green and red and yellow. And it's just like, wow, isn't that something? That's bizarre. So we both started watching it. And sure enough, as soon as we did that, things started moving up at an angle. And it's like, oh, wow, this is definitely in our atmosphere, definitely right over here. Like you could tell it was just right there by the mountain. And it was moving up like a pretty consistent, too much like a different than a plane, you know. So we didn't think a whole lot of it. And then it just stops and it starts changing colors. And then it starts changing shape. This thing went from a sphere down to a smaller sphere and then turned into like a pill shape, like up and down. And we're just like, what in the hell is going on here? So it got long and it got small again. Then it almost faded away. It got really small to where it was like it looked like a dot, like a star, and it almost faded out. And then it started coming back and it was changing colors. And then it started like zipping around. It was moving miles at a time. All of a sudden, it just goes zoop, like at an angle. I don't know what the distance was, but it was miles and miles, just instantaneously. And as soon as we saw that, I look up to the right, and there's a red one. And it's kind of changing colors and shapes. And soon after that, I noticed below that, it will look like two, if you took a number 8 and flipped it on its side, and two more were going in these like sideways 8 patterns, just quick. It's zoop, 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 zoop. And we could barely even. We were like whispering. We're like, what is going on? And we watched this other one change shapes and zip around up and down for an hour. And these other ones kind of blinking in and out of the situation. And it felt almost like it was just doing it for us. Like we didn't want to take pictures or camera. We were just 100% sure if we did, it was going to notice us, you know, and it felt really personal. And it was just, I've never seen something like that so clear. And there's so much time to be able to watch. And it was, you know, it was a new moon. So there's no moon either. So we had these lights just moving around, dancing in front of us. And eventually it just got to the point where we were both tired. And I find this hard to believe, like why I would even go to sleep. But we both got tired and kind of just like, okay, let's go to sleep. And for the next few hours, I'd wake up every hour. It's total silent in this room. And I could hear someone walking around on the deck right behind us. I mean, the back of the bed was, you know, 7 or 8 inches from whatever the window behind us, which was curtain was closed. And like, I could barely breathe. I didn't want to wake her up. I heard walking around out there. I mean, pitch black. And I was like, maybe it's the, you know, some animal or something, but it had the weight of like feet of a person. And it was like one, two, one, two, one, two. And I felt the presence and I was like, go to sleep, just go to sleep, just go to sleep. And this happened like 3 times that night. I'd wake up, I'd be up, and within like 5 or 10 minutes, I'd hear something. And it was just, you know, when something's there. And honestly, I felt like if we kept the windows open, there was 100% chance something was going to be standing in that window looking at us, you know. But yeah, that's where that one ends. You know, I start putting together other weird things. You know, I've always seen the number 333 very consistently. You know, if someone give me something, the number on the side, whatever the code is, would be 333. Or here, have a pour of this special cask whiskey, and it's hand numbered and it's 333. Everything's handed. It's just over and over and over and over again. Could be receipts. It's time on everything. I'll wake up at 333 in the middle of the night, during the day. I started telling my, you know, friends and family about like how I'm like, dude, this is almost weird. This will happen like sometimes 7 or 10 times in a day. And my dad was aware of it. And every time I'd show him, like, look at this, 333, blah, blah, blah. And we were out driving around and a car pulled out in front of us, literally with 333 just painted on the back window. I have a picture of it. It just didn't even make sense. It's like, what's the purpose of that? You know, and it's constantly there. And I've had certain people tell me it's like some sort of, you know, you have guardians, you know, acknowledging your desires or dreams or whatever. But that's something I'm just blown away by on the daily. And I'm actually, no joke, I'm looking right here right now. Holy smokes. Okay. The date I modified Skype, I guess this is when I signed in, January 15, 2021 at 3:33 p.m. Like I'm looking at it right now. Bizarre. Yeah, the other story I had in there was when I was younger and my mother worked at she's a volunteer at a theater, which was a really old library built in the 1800s. It looked like people were upstairs and I would go with her and goof off while she'd be in there working on the sets and costumes and stuff with the other people. And the front doors were locked. So you can go underneath and there's a way you can enter from a basement. And we went down there and we're like, well, we'll just go underneath. We were walking and we could hear people upstairs, you know, talking or whatever. And then we got up there and nobody was there. Everyone had left for lunch, but we heard voices and stuff. And there's other people that had experiences there. But that's my only, what you would consider be a ghost experience.
I've had a few guests on actually that have the same thing with numbers. I had a guest on a few months ago and it was 1111. So I know I'm going to get at least a couple of emails from people saying either I listened to the show and then I woke up that night at 33 minutes past 3 a.m.
Yeah, and I might mention that I have kind of abnormal, and I'd knock on wood saying this, but abnormal good luck for some reason, which is something I've kind of, I know that's from my perspective, but I've had I've been very, very, very fortunate in my life. And I don't know if putting that together and just trying to make sense of it by reading someone saying that that's what that is. Some have told me that, you know, that's your guardian angels or what have you looking out for you, but it's a good feeling when I see it. And when I see it a lot in a condensed amount of time, usually something good happens.
That's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing then. So take note.
Absolutely.
Play the lottery maybe.
Yeah, you know, I should. I never do.
Now, the orange triangle. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's something that I saw later. You'd see some, but it's before you could see videos or anything. So for the longest time, I was like, I remember seeing this. I remember watching it. And, you know, the only stuff you'd see was in a book or something. It'd be like, here's a saucer. Here's just a little glimmer of something in the sky. It must be a UFO. And, you know, it's like, well, who the hell knows? But I saw this thing maneuver and move. And then later I saw other people talk about had seen triangles and similar objects. So, you know, I couldn't tell you what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I, you know, that type of stuff stuck with me. Like it's in my, like it was yesterday, you know.
It does stick with you. I must admit, I actually had a talk to a guest a couple of weeks ago, and she had a sighting of a orange triangle that was in Switzerland in the 1980s.
Oh, wow. And, you know, I try to, you know, grasp a lot of this stuff and try to, you know, now there's a lot more information, and you have your Stephen Greers and Bob Lazars and all these people for the last, you know, couple decades putting out information and stuff. And you wonder, it's like, you know, I'm absolutely certain, you know, after seeing those things in Crestone, it was very personal, and I have zero doubt. It is life-changing, honestly. It was close enough, and it happened for such a prolonged amount of time. You know, we weren't on drugs or anything, and people are like, oh, you're in Colorado, you must have been high. Like, no, wasn't high, none of that. And there's no way that we're building something like that. Is almost organic material, you know what I mean, for it to just change shape. And, you know, it was lit up, but we could see, you know, when it became long, it's like you could see something behind it, you know, behind the glow.
I mean, there are a couple of angles of thought, you know, with these things just being nuts and bolts, but they're obviously not just nuts and bolts. There is another side, whether it's consciousness. But these things are able to manipulate themselves into different shapes and colors, and it's like they have a kind of life of their own.
Yeah, and you know, so the people we stayed with, this couple, the guy was out of town, but they were like the first people to build there, and she showed us, like, it was like, guess it was a bunch of property owned by military that they were going to give, you know, to retirees or whatever, however that works, but no one ever moved there, so they bought the property just basically paid for the taxes and got the property really cheap. And she showed us like pictures when they were building there. There's nothing around, no roads really, anything. And I told her what I saw because I was pretty wired in the morning. I was like, she was like, oh, did you guys have a good night? I'm like, yeah, I saw some shit last night. She goes, oh, more stars. I'm like, no. We sat and had a show last night, you know? And she's like, oh, wow, that's great. You need to talk to my husband. So, you know, I take a shower, whatever. And then she calls him up. She goes, here's my husband. And he's like, hey, how are you doing? So here, you had an interesting night. So I told him the story, and he says there's been a low amount of sightings and stuff in that area. But what he did tell me is all the stuff that he experienced, which he experienced as much as you could see, tons of sightings. And he actually had one pull up to his car. And he said this ship pulled up coming straight down the highway. And he flashed his lights. He says, here goes. I'm going to see what's underneath this thing. And as soon as it got about 20 feet away, he goes, it just like the lights zipped up. And he goes, it just dematerialized is the best way he could describe it. Because it was like Star Trek. He goes, it just poof, gone. You know, and he was really excited about me staying there. And they had said tons and tons of people stay there. He goes, no one's seen anything out here, which is kind of unusual because it's a place where you used to see stuff a lot. So he's like, you're very blessed to have experienced that. And it was just interesting. Like you feel an energy in that area. And I'm definitely going to go back. It was, you know, I hear a lot of people move there from cities and they just can't take the energy. There's something about it in the mountains, and they'll just move. It's kind of intense, but I think there's more, I don't know if there's all sorts of, you know, people come from all religions there and they do a bunch of religious practices and stuff. And some people believe, you know, there's a mothership under the, you know, the sand dunes, and people have seen those types of things there. Over one of the towns, he told me there was a mothership that hovered, and a bunch of people saw this giant ship just, you know, just floating over the town, and it disappeared. All those cattle mutilations and stuff, a lot of the highly publicized ones are around that area too.
You have had a couple of guests from that area, and one of them actually even stayed at the sand dunes camping.
Oh, wow.
Active place, high energy as well.
Yeah. I mean, I literally, you know, you couldn't keep your eyes off the sky the next day. I was for certain I was going to see something else, you know. It's just so odd. It felt very personal, and, you know, we felt like, I don't know, it was interesting. Once we started focusing on this thing, it actually started being more active, you know? So I don't know if there's something to that. I just recently started reading about all the CE5 stuff, and I'm kind of curious about that. You know, they meditate and try to invite these chips or beans or lights or whatever, and it seems to work for some people, but I think there's something to that.
It's definitely worth a try for sure, yeah, trying to make a connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does sound like they're putting on a show for you.
Something. It's hard to make heads or tails of it, but it's consistent enough. I really don't know. Thing with the lights in the room, like I've never, you know, I've actually had sleep paralysis before, and it's nothing close to that. And I realize that's just, you know, I think a lot of people have abduction stories that begin with that, but you know, I've never felt that. You know, I've had all this static starts getting in my ears, and I've like feel like I'm levitating. I can kind of see around the room, and it's like blue and black, but I don't recall anything else, any beings being there, anything like that. And when I felt like I literally was woken up by being pushed into my bed, you know, and I've never, you know, it wasn't a hallucination. I saw it. I just couldn't really like move my body. It's the weirdest thing. And again, wasn't scared. Didn't feel like anything was wrong done to me or anything. At least I don't feel that.
I'll tell you what is scary is this horse, white horse face.
Yeah. And I wish I could show you. It's all right. Say if you're like, you know, you twist your head back and forth, like you're tilting it back and forth, and say your head was attached to a long neck that could stretch down. That's what it was like. And it like tilted back and forth, like it was like kind of swaying, like, oh, what's down there? And that's what was creepy. That's what, why I was like, okay, this isn't some elaborate mask or anything. It had like some sort of elegance to it, you know, like it moved very smooth, and it was like watching, observing. And if it was me now, I'd have pulled that blinds wide open, you know, and who knows if I would have still saw something sitting there if it was gone. But it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my entire life. Anyone else talk about that specifically?
I had a guest on a while ago, Jeff, and he was in an old abandoned institute, and he said him and his friends had seen something, which it's the closest thing he could say was it kind of looked like a horse head. So yeah, kind of similar on the other side of the country.
It's so bizarre because it was very observational. You know, it wasn't just head down, back up. Hard to elaborate without a camera, but it was for sure something observing us. You know, it's like you could imagine if you had something in a bucket or something, and you're wanting to get down and look at it. You know, you're going to kind of sway around and look at the angles. It was like that.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and it was just an angle up enough where we could see straight up at this thing. It had dark eyes, white, elongated face. Closest thing, it's, like I said, you could say is a horse. But
you couldn't make any shoulders or arms or any other appendages?
No, it was almost like if it had like an extended neck or something. No, I couldn't see the body. It was just big enough too, where, you know, it's bigger than a human head. It's just shocking. And we were, you know, laying down, looking straight up at it. And it was like, holy shit. So we're literally clawing our way off the bed, you know, laying down. Like, it was just in a panic. And, you know, I didn't go outside. I regret that. I regret not opening the window, you know.
I think a lot of people wouldn't have gone outside, to be honest with you.
It probably would have been gone anyways. You know, a lot of these things seem to show themselves when they want to.
And I hear a lot of accounts of things looking through windows.
Yeah, how screwed up is that? Like, what's the scariest damn thing you can think of? And that's the shit you see, you know? It's like, get out of my window, creepy.
Especially when you're a child as well. That seems to happen to children quite a lot, where things be looking through the windows.
You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I wasn't really harmed or whatever, but it's like, well, whatever you remember, you know, who knows?
Great stuff. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, Nick.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks again for having me, and take care.
Yeah, look after yourself. Great talking to you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
That's it for this week. Keep updated and connected with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A special thanks to Trev and Nick for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week with more of the strange and unexplained. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.